Hi friends, this is Shadima, also known as the Type A Hippie, and this is take three. I'm thinking third time's a charm. So this is the Type A Hippie podcast, GCast episode 8. And today's probably going to be a little bit shorter than the rest of them have been. And then I'll probably get to talking and be like running my mouth some more. So I was supposed to fly out to Boston for work today, and I got a text after teaching saying that my flight was canceled. So one leg of the flight was canceled. I was going to fly into Chicago, hang out with my sister during a four-hour layover, and then fly to Boston from there. So it's considered a red-eye because I was going to get there early tomorrow morning, and that is not what the divine had planned, apparently. So I could have left this afternoon and then gotten there at like 8 something tonight, or I could have left early, but crack of dawn tomorrow and get there tomorrow afternoon. So that's what I opted for. So anyway, today I want to talk about making amends, cleaning things up, moving forward, because inevitably with these difficult conversations, I may offend someone, someone may offend me. So how do I graciously accept an apology, and how do I make an apology? So what I've learned over the years is that when I make amends, it means to change, right? Like I would amend a document. So my behavior needs to change. I can't afford to just say, I'm sorry all over the place. Because eventually people get tired of that. So if I really legitimately want to change my behavior, I'm going to change my behavior. And if I've done something to offend someone, the best thing I can do is acknowledge that, because there's this thing called intent versus impact. And so even if I don't intend to hurt someone, I may have unintentionally hurt someone and it has impact, a negative impact on them. So this happened, I would say, shortly after the election. I tagged a friend that I considered an ally, a safe space. I tagged her in a post on Facebook, linking her to an article. She sends me a text message asking me why I tagged her. And now the title of this article is foul. Like, I'm just going to be honest. It's not a great title. It's very inflammatory. And at the same time, if I open, like, I opened the link, like, I clicked on the link and was able to actually read the article, and it had some good information. So I tagged her along with three other friends. And three out of the four friends were not offended. So I could rest on my laurels and congratulate myself and pat myself on the back that three people weren't offended. Instead, while I'm grateful and glad that three people weren't offended, I did feel sadness that I had offended one person, albeit unintentionally. So what I was able to do, once we talked through things and via text message, and she shared some details about her life that I did not know. Although we went to high school together, I didn't really know her then, and she didn't really know me. And so I felt even more bad, because I think in an effort to, I don't want to say prove her point, but in an effort to validate herself, she shared information that she may or may not have wanted to share. And so she was being incredibly authentic and transparent, and almost because she felt like it was absolutely necessary and not because she necessarily wanted to. And so that added another layer. And so I thanked her for sharing with me this information, even though the platform or the arena in which she was sharing it may not have been her first choice. And then I just apologized, really simply. And I said, I apologize for hurting you. It was not my intent. And yet, here we are. It's what happened. And so, I won't do something like that again. I heard a guy say, that when you make amends, you can almost add on to the end, I won't do this or that to you or anyone else, and you can watch me if you want. And I like that because I remember talking to a friend and I was struggling with friendships. And so she said, well, people don't like to know that you are gossiping about them. And I was thinking, what the hell is she talking about? And she was like, you talk about people. And if you're talking about someone to me, I'm thinking that when I'm not there in your presence, you might be talking about me. And I was like, oh, wow. You know, it hadn't even dawned on me or occurred to me that my efforts to get close to people were actually drawing them away or driving them away from me. And so when I started to be aware, and I would talk to a few of my friends to say, like, what is it like to be my friend? Or what am I doing that's kind of going against what I say that I want? And I started to listen humbly. It wasn't easy to hear that feedback. And then I started incorporating some of what they were saying over time. Because, again, it's not enough for me to just not gossip with her. I needed to change that behavior in all arenas of my life, in all areas of my life. So I don't gossip at work. People say oftentimes that I'm very diplomatic. They'll ask me point blank about someone or something, and I will spin it around in a way that feels authentic to me and kind and understanding about the other person, because I'm not interested in being a part of that type of conversation. Again, I'm not perfect. I haven't mastered it completely. And yeah, I've come a long way. And there's still room for growth, right? So making amends is something that frees you up, and it's good for community. The other thing is accepting apology. And so I have super close friends and they're allies as well, and I've been processing a lot with them, which has been so helpful and so life-giving. And I had posted something on Facebook, or I had responded to a comment on Facebook, and two separate friends both said to me, you know what, I apologize because yesterday I did not amplify your voice. I essentially talked over you or didn't support what you were saying and bolster you up. And so I was in a position to receive this apology, and I said, thank you. I appreciate that. Because an apology, almost like a recipe, it's like, what are you apologizing for? Or for what are you apologizing? When I just say I'm sorry, I mean, I'm sorry. It could be, I'm sorry it's snowing. I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry that I was late. What do you really feel you've done? And then the other thing is that piece of, like, how is this going to change? Because the next thing is living amends, right? So again, that I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, it gets old pretty quickly. So living amends, like, am I really like that? I've apologized about gossiping about you, for example. Thank God I haven't had to do that in a long time. But let's say, for example, I relapse on the behavior and I apologize for gossiping about you. Now, in a couple years, am I going to still be apologizing for gossiping about you, or am I going to be apologizing for gossiping to someone else? That's the living amends, like not continuing to create wreckage in the present and in, as you live your life in relationship with others. So these are all really important things when we think about, you know, who we want to be, where we want to be, and how do we move forward, how do we continue to move forward, knowing that we're always learning, and attempting to do our best with that. So, even with these conversations, like we've talked about, multiple times. You know, things come up for us. We may need to step away from the conversation to process. I have said mid-sentence, you know what? I really can't go there right now. I can't go there. It's just not going to be good. Or I've said, I'm really upset right now, and so I need time. So having healthy boundaries to say what you need and say what you mean without saying it mean is really important. Because when I feel like I'm holding the bag and I'm just like always, you know, always the one that has to be the bigger person, or, you know, one of my favorite quotes that emerged during the campaign was, when they go low, we go high. So whenever I feel like I'm going high all the time and no one else is, I need to take a step back because my ego is getting involved and I need to process and I need to do it in a safe space. And safe spaces can change, right? Someone who was safe may not be safe anymore and vice versa. And then there are different times where I just need certain friends or certain, you know, family to process with. I was listening to Undisclosed podcasts again, and not again, I'm still listening to it. I bounce around between so many different podcasts. And so I was listening to that one and I started to weep because on this particular episode, so Undisclosed is a podcast about, it's providing legal commentary for the United States versus Adnan Syed. And that was the topic of the first season of the Serial podcast, where Sarah Koenig, a journalist, not even an investigative journalist, started to take apart the case and go, she went back and interviewed witnesses. She went back to the scene of the crime. She went back in time 16, 17 years. And Adnan Syed has been incarcerated for 16, 17 years. And so Rabia Chowdhury and two other attorneys started the Undisclosed podcast. And Sarah Koenig got the information about the case from Rabia, who's a family friend of Anand. So I bring this up because the last episode that I'm listening to, and again, I'm very behind, was sometime in September 2015, was when it was actually published or released. And there's a young lady who is part of this program called BreakingTheCycle.com, I believe, or Breaking the Cycle. And she's in an Ohio prison in Marion County, I believe, and it's a rehabilitation and correctional facility. And they're able to listen to the podcast. So they listen to season one of Serial, and then they are listening to Undisclosed, and she was talking to them about their reactions and responses to both Serial and Undisclosed. And I started to weep in my car after I had parked because I was thinking, like, I know that I say it a lot on this podcast and on social media. I am you. You are me. There are no others. There's no such thing as us versus them. Because when I really think about it, if I really think about the words that I just said, then it's just us. Because there are no others, right? And so I wept because these men are being rehabilitated and they have voices and they have something to say, and it just was humbling just to be one part of humanity. you know? And some of them have been convicted. All of them have been convicted of a crime. And one thing that Robbie was talking about is that they're called incarcerated people because they are still people, regardless of what their criminal background tells us, you know? And so we have real opportunities here to make change and to be different people if we're willing to do the work and we're willing to apologize when that is appropriate. So this one's a short and sweet one. I am grateful to be here and so grateful that you all are here. And as our custom has become, I'm going to flip open and share some stories of human beings that are breathing. So it's a young kid, maybe a tween. When you live here, you don't have too many fears. You've seen pretty much everything that life can throw at you. When I was 9, I saw a guy get pushed off the roof of that building right there. He's asked later on, Who's influenced you the most in your life? My principal, Miss Lopez. When we get in trouble, she doesn't suspend us. She calls us to our office and explains to us how society was built down around us. And she tells us that each time somebody fails out of school, a new jail cell gets built. And one time she made every student stand up one at a time and she told each one of us that we matter. So this looks to be Miss Lopez on the opposing page. This is a neighborhood that doesn't necessarily expect much from our children. So at Mott Hall Bridges Academy, we set our expectations very high. We don't call the children students, we call them scholars. Our color is purple. Our scholars wear purple and so do our staff because purple is the color of royalty. I want my scholars to know that even if they live in a housing project, they are part of a royal lineage going back to great African kings and queens. They belong to a group of individuals who invented astronomy and math, and they belong to a group of individuals who have endured so much history and still overcome. When you tell people that you're from Brownsville, their face cringes up, but there are children here that need to know that they are expected to succeed. So friends, to whom much is given, much is expected. And you've been given a lot, so go out and love. I honor the place within you where the entire universe resides. I honor the place within you of love, of light, of truth, of peace. I honor the place within you where when you are in that place in you and I am in that place in me, there is only one of us. My name is Chidima. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day. So blessed to have you as part of my community. Namaste.